This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That's right. Happy Friday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You know the people involved. That is John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig on the ones, twos, threes, and fours. We're just going to keep adding numbers. How about that? Hold that. But you also involved, as you always are, by getting in on the text line, 713-572-4610. But then also appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And yesterday was a doozy, friends.
It was a day.
It was a day filled with all sorts of sports. I mean, for me personally, I got to play basketball, which I enjoy. But college football, a number of games on all the televisions was really fun to watch.
I got to watch college football with my grandson.
Yeah, I saw it.
That's his first ever college football game.
He seemed animated about it, too.
Because he was talking to the
but
TV.
You had him watching Buffalo, Minnesota?
We were flipping.
Oh, okay. I was a little disappointed in that one. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. What was his best bet?
I'll let you know. He was born the week after, or 2 weeks after the Super Bowl.
So that what did young JJ feel about football?
Game, and his name is JJ. And that was his first football game. So, yes, good day. Good day. And then there's the thing.
The thing that caught the imagination of all sports fans because it was one, it was probably a lot more than one part, but one part of it was just the absurdity of it, right? It was a, I have a group of friends that we kind of do this thing where we talk about Twitter days, like the days that just take over all of our collective imaginations and we have no option but to stop down and talk about it. Yeah. So it was a Twitter day, but also because the Cowboys, there's an exponential kind of effect to it. And I cannot believe that Jerry Jones actually traded his probably single best player mere days before the start of the season because he was mad.
And not probably. His single best player. I mean, this is a guy.
Well, I mean, do you want to make the argument? How do you feel about CeeDee Lamb?
No, he's the best player.
How do you feel about Trayvon
Diggs? Who's the
best
pass rusher of all time? Reggie White, probably.
Yeah,
and his numbers compare almost step by step with Reggie White.
And now his path now compares with Reggie White as he goes.
What happened when Reggie White was traded?
He goes from the NFC East to the Packers. Yeah, that's although were they still the NFC East at that point? I don't think that's right. But
yeah,
they go from that, you know, that same what would be that division now to the Packers. And we'll see if Micah is able to live up to that.
Yeah.
But let's start here. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about all the other parts of it. But what are the lessons to be learned from this? Because we could stop and look at it and just rubberneck at this crash that has clearly happened up there in Dallas. We can even laugh a little bit. Schadenfreude is not above me, or beyond me, rather. Mm-hmm. But what are the lessons that we take away from this? Because first and foremost, wow. Jerry, yeah. This is one of the big reasons why you figure out deals early. That's one of the things I'm really happy about, because this deal should have been done last year. Now, maybe if you want to blame Micah Parsons aside and David Mulgett aside, at that point, I imagine that they were like, hey, we can wait and see. Actually, no. I think they wanted to get a deal done last year. It was the Jerry Jones and the Cowboys that were like, hey, we have some things. We want to push this off.
Yeah.
When you push that off, you open up the opportunity of, one, a real fight, which, of course, they came to it, And then Jerry Jones got upset and was not able to get a deal done. Actually, they might have been able to get a deal done, but Jerry Jones decided, no, I feel like we had a deal on a handshake agreement and you reneged, and so you have to go?
I think what we learned from this goes one step before what you just said. What you said is accurate.
Okay.
It needs to be done early, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Everything you said is accurate. But one step before that is the real story here.
Okay, where's the real story, Mr. Storyman?
Jerry Jones is a buffoon. He's a buffoon. And he should not be running a team. He should not be making football decisions. That's where it starts, Reggie. Like people have said it for years, you know, that he needs a GM, blah, blah, blah.
That was one of the 3, 4, 6. Yeah. Hire a GM is the lesson that you have.
Where
here.
This whole story starts is he's a buffoon that has no business making football decisions. Then you can start talking about, you know, the football decision.
Once we move beyond the buffoon, you could talk about him being a buffoon. I probably wouldn't use those exact words, but I don't think you're wrong. I think that there is a level of ego that is all over this that leads me to another lesson, which is have a modus operandi. Mm-hmm. Have an MO for your organization. Because that's one of the things that, Figgy, we were just talking about this before the show. What were you expecting to happen with the Micah Parsons deal?
I thought they was going to sign a deal right before the game, honestly. Kind of like how they did with Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. How they waited to the last minute and then boom, he's a Cowboy for life or whatever the case may be.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not the best MO, but they were they don't have a plan on how they handle things, right? They could they have, if they had made the decision that, hey, this is how we want to handle this contract. Do we get things done early? These things are done early. Do we get things done late and we just pay him? Then he's paid. Mm-hmm. Do we decide that, hey, we want to move on from players early, like we're the Steelers or whatever. And, you know, hey, thank you, but we're not going to overpay. You trade him at before the draft. You get assets that you can then turn around and use to make your team better sooner rather than later. They don't have a plan as an organization. And, I mean, that feels like that is the basic. If you're running a sports team, if you're running a business, if you're running a household, have a gosh darn plan, and it is abundantly clear that they just, because of, I mean, I imagine some of this is probably because they don't have any responsibility to anyone. Mm-hmm. They clearly don't feel a responsibility to their fans. They just feel like, whatever we feel like on a whim.
Yes.
So I can run my entire multi-billion dollar organization based off the idea that I feel like when I bought the team, I shook somebody's hand, and when I shake somebody's hand, they should hold up to that deal, even though it's not agreed to and signed on the dotted line.
This isn't like the Dust Bowl, and you're making deals about your farm, and a handshake is gold. No, you're right. No plan, no culture, no strategy, no anything, no strategy in terms of like, okay, all these options that you're giving out, you know, the what ifs. And we always talk about, and you know, we'll relate this to the Texans down the road in this show for sure, but we always talk about Nick Caserio. Every move already has other moves behind it, right? This has no moves behind it. Now, you can overthink it like, oh, you know, what they're doing is they're accumulating first-round draft picks because Arch Manning isn't coming out till 27 and blah, blah, blah. Dude, you could have gotten more first-round draft picks if you did it earlier.
So I'm trying to recall if this was Adam Schefter. There's been a number of NFL reporters that, of course, I've consumed as this has been everything. I believe it was Adam Schefter saying that he has heard from various other organizations that were like, we would have offered more.
Yes.
Right.
If you had a plan.
If you would open this up, which of course is sounds very much like the Luka Doncic deal where Dallas is down horrendous.
Yeah.
But get the one, like at least create a market for yourself and get the best out of this. But you only get 2 first round picks. And if you're talking about, oh, well, they have first round picks to make things better in the future, Jerry Jones clearly didn't have a plan in that regard because he's out there in a press conference yesterday talking about, well, we could turn these around and get players now.
Now. I'm like, what?
You start the season in a week.
And by the way, they didn't have a good offseason either.
No, they did not.
I feel like they didn't sign not one player this offseason.
Well, that was the story of it.
They never used free agency, and Jerry Jones going to get out here talking about, and of course, Jerry's a liar. Mm-hmm. Jerry just be talking. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones is trying to spin this as if trying to say that in his 11-minute answer to the very first question, that they did, now they'll be better in the run-stopping game because Kenny Clark came over with those 2 first-round picks that they acquired. Kenny Clark, a 30-year-old defensive tackle, fine. Yeah. Not bad, but not great, right? Obviously, you're never going to get commensurate value when you trade away a superstar in any league, I don't think.
Yeah.
But he's fine. I think that framework doesn't do him any service, but he's solid at stopping the run. Who going to rush the passer, big dog?
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing, even the deal itself is just, you know, we talk about how they could have gotten more earlier, but even this deal, if you're going to make this blockbuster deal right before the season, and the Packers definitely won it. The Texans traded more for Laremy Tunsil. They traded more for Laremy Tunsil than the Packers did.
I'm glad you bring this up. Is this the worst deal that we've seen, worst trade that we've seen executed in, let's say, this quarter century? Because I was like, modern NFL, you get to some interesting places like post-Super Bowl where obviously the Herschel Walker trade comes up.
Deshaun.
Deshaun Watson mm-hmm. trade comes up because that's also a trade, mm-hmm. but then also, you know, pay on the backside. But quarterbacks are weird because I was also going to bring up Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But quarterback is a place where it gets a little dicey. Non-quarterbacks is probably where you have to try and draw the line. And the closest other trade that I have is the Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was not in the same neighborhood.
No, I mean, like, you had, and let me see, because I did go and check this. Khalil Mack was 2018. You had Khalil Mack, a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick going to the Raiders for two firsts, a third, and a sixth.
Yeah, but you traded a first in there, too, with Khalil Mack.
No, you traded a second.
A second.
Which I think that is kind of...
that kind of evened it out
the third and the... So, like, it almost is two firsts. And then they made him the highest paid pass rusher. Like, that seems relatively close to what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But it feels like you could have gotten more for a guy who I would argue is probably better at this point than Khalil Mack was at that point.
Again, the Texans traded two firsts, a second, Julian Davenport and Johnson Batamosi for Laremy Tunsil. They didn't even get, like, the Cowboys, it's insanity what happened yesterday. Just the impact of it. And you said something that was really important. Sorry, Figgy. This type of trade should never happen. It should never, ever happen.
Not unless you absolutely want to. In fact, it doesn't happen unless you absolutely want to.
It don't happen this late like this.
And well, so, and also you could, you
if,
know, you
if
could,
it's going to happen, it's going to happen during the draft or something like that where you can get a top 10 pick or mm-hmm. something like that. You could get more for him.
Yeah.
Someone said Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Herschel Walker, Ricky Williams. Yeah, that one was a rough one.
All those are good.
But I mean,
this is a Herschel Walker type trade if you really think about it.
They didn't get back enough though.
No, but I'm saying just impact on the team that got the pick. The Cowboys were the good team back then. You know what I'm saying? They won three Super Bowls.
Yeah, but they're the team that get the.
But
get
I
the
felt
picks
like
here.
No, yeah. I felt like nobody overpaid in this trade though. They just didn't get a bang for their buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody because says Trey Lance. Oh, Trey Lance is a bad one. Of course, still in the quarterback realm, but you give up future firsts, mortgaging the franchise for a quarterback that ultimately had not played enough football and then got hurt on top of while you had him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if enough people bring that to Kyle Shanahan's doorstep on the, no, hey, man,
he lucked
you've got
up on
a great
quarterback. Yeah. He lucked up on a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. Man, that is the saving grace because they've been out here trying to make it shake, getting all the talent, having a lot of, you know, obviously great schematics, and they needed a quarterback. And when they went up there and tried to upgrade, which I thought was the right way to go about this, mind you, because Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't winning no Super Bowls for you, right?
Yeah.
I saw Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl actively, like, trying to mitigate the imagined harm that Jimmy Garoppolo would do to them by not having the football in his hands, really.
Yeah.
So I get it. Try and go get a quarterback. The way that he did it was a problem.
Yeah.
But one of the other lessons that we have from the Micah Parsons debacle is don't let your feelings mess up your money.
100%.
Because this was all feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because you would think that with the way that this trade is very clearly a loss for the Cowboys, I don't know, you could try and spin it the way that you want to or whatever. They're in Dallas. It feels like they're not as outraged as you might have imagined.
Oh boy, I don't know. You would know before me, but
well, there's people that are like the Holden. Just generally, people don't like that kind of usurping of the hierarchy of authority or whatever. But then
I think that's cope, man.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
There's people that in that ecosystem know that Michael Parsons is a little bit of a child. Mm-hmm. Like he can you know, he needs to kind of be focused in. There are some times where maybe even players in that locker room would be upset because, hey, your responsibility is to do this. And he's like, well, I'm just going to go rush the passer. And I get the frustration. However, he's Micah bleeping Parsons.
I was
going to
say, all that said, horrible.
It's the same thing in Cleveland with Myles Garrett. A lot of people been irritated with Myles Garrett for a long time, but at the end of the day, it's still Myles Garrett,
he's
man.
Doing that crossover and getting the quarterback.
Yeah. Who give a damn if he out here stat pack?
Yeah, exactly.
Just an absolutely insane thing that happened there. And, I mean, there's a lot more things to talk about. Did Jerry Jones mess up the money for the Texans a little bit? Because if you think about it, you go from $35 million being the amount of average annual value for a pass rusher at the start of this offseason. As we end the offseason, $47 million on average annual value, because that's the extension he got. Four years, $188 million, which is about $47 million average annual value that he'll have to play for another historic team, the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that.
Or maybe at the top of the heap.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that more as we continue here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's return to your Texans, who did not trade away their best player as they gear up for the season. But as we're getting ready for the season, where are the Texans most likely to struggle early? Because we've talked about there's possibilities of struggle in there. Where are those? Where's the most likely portion that you see the struggle? 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy Friday. Hope your Friday is going well. Let's get into the Labor Day weekend with some good vibes and some good fun. 713-572-4610 is the number to text where you guys are texting from the 929. Good barometer of the impact of a trade. Is it known as the blank trade? Nobody knows the Shaq Mason trade. That is fair, but sometimes
Sometimes
that's just the magnitude of the player, though. Sometimes that's not inherently the caliber of...
Dumb?
Yes, dumb that is in the trade.
The Hawkins trade?
Yeah, Hopkins trade was a bad one. Yeah. It was a bad one. I cannot deny.
The Herschel trade.
Yeah, and everybody knows.
There's something to that.
Deshaun trade.
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun Watson trade, absolutely. I'm trying to think, can I knock this down with a good instance of, oh, that trade. okay. You might have something there. I'll have to think a little bit more about that. But while we do that, let's talk a little bit more about your Texans. It is just, what, 8 days until?
How about that?
Or 9 days? Is that right? 9 days till the start of the season for your Texans. And they'll be going up against a familiar foe, at least for Nick Caley, in the Los Angeles Rams out there at SoFi Stadium. And with this offense, I think in particular, I imagine this will skew towards the offense, Lopez. We know that it's a new offense. They're inputting a lot of things. There's some malleability with the offense. So I think that there's some places where there might be some early struggles. But let's widen this out to the entirety of the Texas teams. Where are the places that the Texans are most likely to struggle early?
Yeah, you know, I thought of this because I don't know how it came up, but I was thinking about it. When D'Amico Ryans was hired, you know, rookie head coach, hype, hometown guy, all that good stuff. You know, we brought up the topic a couple of times, like, where is he going to be? Where is there going to be a blind spot for D'Amico his first year as a rookie head coach? Because it does it happens to every head coach, especially your first year, you know, early in your career, you're going to have like a weak spot, a blind spot. And so I started thinking about that with this team in general, because there has been so much, you know, turnover, especially on the offensive side. If you had to, you know, we've been very positive. We've talked about some of the good things we've seen in training camp, but let's talk about that. What we did with D'Amico on this team in general, where do you think there could be a weak spot, a blind spot, or maybe, as we put it, where they struggle early on?
Low hanging fruit is offensive line. Like, that's the low hanging fruit. They've gotten, especially I think the five that we're anticipating seeing go out there, run out on the field first, mm-hmm. is the five that we've seen together for the last, 2 weeks or so. So they built a little bit of continuity, but that's different, you know, getting a couple of joint practices and one preseason game. It's different than getting into week one where they're going full bore, and the added benefit for the Rams of that guy Nick Haley over there. He was just in that building with the Rams. They have some familiarity with some of the things that I imagine he might try and come out of the gate with, right? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there's more people adding in. Obviously, Jerry Chaplinsky comes in with Nick Haley, but he's also joining in with whatever C.J. Stroud is giving Nick Haley, whatever Gerard Johnson is adding to the fold, whatever Ben McDaniels is adding to, like, right? There's more mm-hmm. staff that's going to add wrinkles in kind of different ways to go about things. However, I do think that the Rams might have a level of finger on the pulse of, hey, what is Nick Haley kind of wanting to get to?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to test the offensive line first and foremost, especially with their ability to, you know, generate pressure the Rams have.
You gave my answer in the context of the offensive line. My answer is Nick Haley.
Oh, okay.
My answer is Nick Haley. Not only do they have some familiarity with Nick Haley, you know, they know his tendencies, et cetera, but you're not in the preseason anymore. You know, it's one thing to play that vanilla defense, to have some success, you know, with first teamers and second teamers and third teamers, to be able to run the ball, et cetera, et cetera. It's a whole, you know, you're in Division I football now. It's like they tell the high schoolers. It's a whole different world. And by the way, their first two opponents, the Rams and the Buccaneers, were both, you know, top. Well, the Bucs were, I think, like fourth or fifth in total defense last year. And the Rams were top, you know, 14, 15. They were good defenses last year. And those are your first two opponents. And their mouths are watering trying to confuse Nick Haley. How much did he really, you know, get his feet wet? He, remember, and this is what kind of tipped the scales for me, we had him on our show from training camp. Hey, how many times you called plays? None? Zero?
Yeah, he hadn't prior. So, like, the kind of oddities of calling plays in a game, various things that are going to get thrown at you, and the ability to make those minute-by-minute adjustments. I think Seth does a good job of highlighting this, mm-hmm. that we might overstate the idea of a halftime adjustment. It's more just like drive-to-drive adjustments on what are you doing. All of those things, it's not like he's entirely, you know, these are foreign concepts to him, like he's never experienced them, but I think we all know the difference between, oh, I know that in theory, and then I'm going to get in here and actually do it. It ends up operating just a little bit different. So what is the learning curve for him there, and how quickly does he get up to speed?
Yeah, and it's third and six, you know, third and five, kind of a tweener down or whatever. And you got 30 seconds to make the call, and all of a sudden they're changing personnel on the defensive side, and you're having to make the call. I'm not saying the guy's inept. I'm saying, where might there be a blind spot? Where might there be some growing pains, if you want to put it that way? You face two good defenses. It's the first time really you've ever done it for real. And you got to make this offense click. You know, I think Nick Haley is an option there. I don't know, Fig, if you're thinking of anything. It looks like you are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking a blind spot for D'Amico. I feel like if this season offensively don't look as well, 100% the offense, just the offense side of the ball is a blind side. And then me personally, I'm probably thinking like, damn, is he even looking over there at this point?
Yeah.
Or he just focused on the defense and he just got too much trust into whoever he hires as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
and I think that's like a larger kind of full season thing, but I feel you on that. But yeah, early on, I think another thing is, at least, again, continuing offensively, we know you're depending on some young cats to probably come in and make some impact. Or if you're not depending on young cats nearly as much, which I think you will, you're also, Xavier Hutchinson looked good in camp. How many times have we had the conversation of somebody looks good at camp, and then what do they ultimately give you in the season? I know that it's been made on a national kind of level, which again, I know that we can take that with a grain of salt at times, but Xavier Hutchinson was in this room last year when you're looking around and saying, get Nico Cone's help.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, the system matters. Protection matters. C.J. Stroud's ability to, you know, move and shake matters. However, there is something to be said for, okay, what do you have as a wide receiver core? It's one of the things where we like what we have, but we'll see what it looks like early. It could be that, you know, getting a feel for all this, especially as the way that Nick Haley calls things, there's more of a expectation on your wide receivers to know what's happening, to execute to a T. Are they capable of doing that at a level that you expect and that you want right out the gate?
Yeah.
That's a possible place where you might see a little bit of sluggish nature early on.
And here's another thing, you know, trust me, you know, we've all been impressed with what this offense, how it progressed. But, you know, we're talking about, okay, maybe this is one of those where you pause. I don't think Nick Haley really helped with play calling in L.A. I think he did his position work. He helped with the passing game as a coordinator. But we know who called the plays. I mean, it was Sean McVay, you know? And so it's just like, okay, it could be a while before he really gets his feet under
him. We focused all on offense here, and I don't want to – I think that there's one thing that I've kind of mentioned a little bit, which is run defense at times. Mm-hmm. Like, interestingly enough, I mean, the Texans weren't bad by any means at run defense last year, but – that could be a place where, especially with the different interior defense linemen, Sheldon Rankins, who, I mean, has been good in his career and very much so. I mean, last year he had a rough season, but we know what we can attribute some of that to.
Yeah.
What does it look like with run stopping with this defense? Are they tackling in the ways that, you know, Matt Burke, when we talked to him about it, is like, hey, this is clearly a thing that we would like to grow at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's ways that they've worked on, you know, the lead up to tackles, right? Making sure that all those things are right, because you can't necessarily like work on tackling. You can't like tune that up necessarily. You tune up things getting there. The Texans were like middle of the league when it came to like yards after contact per attempt, which again, not terrible, but clearly there's more to be wrung out of that.
Mm-hmm.
How does that look, right? How does that look in the interior on the defensive line? And then obviously with their tackling early on in the season, especially where,
sure,
how much hitting were you able to do in camp comparatively to get you ready for season?
I agree. And one more thing for me, before we move on to talk about the blind spots and learning curves and all that, Where do you think Sean McVay is going to, what do you think he's going to test and really try to attack?
Against this defense?
Against this Texans defense. Even if C.J. Gardner-Johnson is on the field, he's going to test him. He's going to test the safeties if he's not on the field. He's going to test the middle of the field where the Texans were you know, pretty weak last year. Tight ends up the middle, Puka up the middle, you know, all these other things. Rest assured, they're going to be tested in the seam.
Yeah, and I do wonder if how deep it goes, or if it's more intermediate in testing the linebackers. Because when I think about the pairing of wide receiver, because somebody on the text line asked a fair question, is how do you go about handling the Davante Adams, Puka Nacua pairing? Obviously, next week will give us an opportunity to talk more about that. But I think that clearly Stingley has the capability of handling up with Davante Adams, and that might be a follow situation.
Yeah.
Puka is such an interesting guy because, I mean, they can move these guys around, but Puka very much more profiles as a true slot guy. And so how is Petrie going to have that assignment, or are you going to end up with situations where maybe you try and have Kamari Lassiter somehow move around? Like, I think that'll be an interesting thing, is how do they try and, you know, push and pull some of the more cover, like the coverage elements within this team, especially with the likes of Puka Nacua, because on the outside, Davante Adams is going to require that level of effort. Now, especially in the middle, which I think is more of your intermediate questions coverage-wise with linebackers and Petrie, I think that might be one of the places where a Sean McVay goes, let's see what I can push and pull there.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously, like, more things to talk about. But early on in the season, I think one of the encouraging things is it felt a little difficult to find the things that it feels like they will have, you know, they might have or be sluggish in or struggle with early, which I think is good for how this Texans team has prepared themselves. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, inspired by the trade heard around the NFL world. What's something that octogenarians should not be allowed to do? Or maybe more importantly, what's something funny that you've seen an old friend or relative that is in that 80-year-old range do? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. All right, question of the day. What's something that an octogenarian should just not be allowed to do, or something funny that you've seen an octogenarian do? 713-572-4610. Obviously inspired by Gerald Wayne Jones deciding to trade his best player just mere days before the season starts, at what I think a majority of people would say is an undersell, right? And then really for all the wrong reasons, it feels like. Jerry Jones did that. And I'm still amazed that he actually did that.
Because he's 82, by the way.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
I honestly thought he was older than that.
Yeah, well, I think he turns 83 here.
Well, it's because his face is
melting. He looked like he's about probably 87.
And he also talks like it. One of the things that Jerry will do, With the drama that was happening with Micah Parsons and him calling David Mulligetta the agent.
Yes. And he was calling Micah Michael.
Yeah, yes. So
which is one of those things, maybe you have a story like that.
Like I think that there's animus there clearly. Like he was upset. But if I didn't know that he was upset, it's within the range that he's just like an old dude, because there's a number of dudes on that Cowboys team that he didn't know the names of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that's probably the reason why you should not have somebody of his particular age at least having to handle in great detail what's happening there without someone else as a buffer to help kind of handle the more menial things. So with that being the case,
do you
have any answers to this?
So the question of the day is, what's something octogenarians should not be allowed to do? But I think it should turn in also to, I want to hear some of these stories of your old aunts and uncles and neighbors and such.
Already a great one on the text line, by the way. 281, they said they worked at LaPorte Airfield and a really old lady pulled in from Spencer Highway and started driving around the runways and taxiways looking for some kind of store.
You laugh. I mean, some of it is sad if they have some sort of, you know, something going
on. Right, if there's dementia or something like that.
Let's set that aside. Driving obviously is one, but two came to mind for me. I told the story briefly earlier. My mother, God bless her, she finally started texting into her 80s, and she died at 90, and her 95th birthday would have been this week. So shout out to my beautiful mom, but she started texting in her 80s, and she would end every text with, "Te amo, mama."
I love you. Yeah, no,
I love you, mom. I told her 100 times, "Mom, when you text me, your name comes up."
That was a stylistic decision, man. You was out here thinking she didn't know. She knew. She was just like, "I want you to know. This is how I sign. This is how I send text."
Hey, somebody please tell that to John McClain too.
He does
He still does that to this day. I could text him right now, and he'll be like, "Thank you for the kind words."
John.
And then put at the bottom, John.
Just to say, man.
Just to make sure it's you.
Another one that I think, this is more of the first part, something octogenarians should never be allowed to do. Click on any link ever. Like in an email or something.
Let me call my mother right now so she can listen to this segment.
Do not click on anything at all. It's danger.
Yeah, no, especially because you would say that, you would think like, all right, well, you know, obviously that you can get scammed or whatever. The worst part is that it ends up backfiring on you because you become tech support, man. Like, something's happening with my computer. Can you look at it? Now I got to spend hours Googling to figure out what's happening here because I don't got no IT degree.
Yeah, we got past the whole getting scammed thing. Mm-hmm. Now it's more getting hacked.
Yeah.
You click some. Now your phone is done now. Now they hack all of your stuff. Mm-hmm.
I will say the funny thing that I love about, you know, somebody who is older is that they get a level, like socially, we understand. You pay a little bit of deference. You pay a little bit of respect to that person. Yeah. You let them cook. I've often said, always said, I can't wait to be old to just accost some young person and just talk their ear off. It's one of the funniest things. Just,
there is some advantages.
You see an old dude just be like, and let me tell you something. And he can hold you there for a good 25 minutes. And you have nothing. I've seen this happen on multiple times. And it's just funny. I'll sit off to the side and just watch and be like, he can't go. He's trying to find like, yep, yes, sir. Yeah. Can I? No. Okay, I'm still here listening to you. Yep. Yep. And they can't do anything about it. It's one of my favorite things.
My favorite thing is when you're out and about and the old person that don't know you need your help and they just be like, hey, young man, hey, can you grab me that cart right there?
Oh, yeah.
And they just sitting there with, all right, I'm sorry to bother you. Can you pick up that watermelon, put it in the cart. You ain't gonna say no. You're gonna be like, all right, sir, here you go, sir, or here you go, ma'am.
Yeah.
And grab that case of water.
It is one of the trunk. It is absolutely like, all right,
you have advantages.
I spent about a good 15 minutes one time just helping this lady around.
You were her personal shopper?
Yes. I felt good after that. I wasn't mad, but I felt good. I'm like, some people won't even try to ask for help, but for the simple fact she asked me, ain't know who I was. I could have been a bad person, by the way, but yeah.
Another one, and
I feel like bad people aren't even bad people when it's like just a little old lady. Like, can you pull that down from the top shelf? You better turn into a good person.
Yeah. You seen that picture of Gucci man carrying the old lady groceries? I think I got the shirt. Got Gucci carrying some groceries.
This happened to me recently, and I can tell you it wasn't like, you know, dementia or anything like that. Old people tend to do this, even with all their, you know, faculties intact. They will tell you the same story about something every time they see you. My mother.
I love it.
Every time they see you. Hey, did I tell you about blah, 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 blah? And you, sometimes you feel bad saying, yeah, you did. Like, you wanted to move on. You just kind of have to take it.
All right, some coming in.
John McClane loved telling that Joe DiMaggio story.
But it's a good one, though. From the 832, very much pointing to the super old folks should not be allowed at gyms. I don't think that's the case, but we gotta figure out some rules around this locker room.
Oh, the naked old man?
Yeah, man.
Naked old guy. They're everywhere.
And the thing about it is, like, there's no shame about it. Yeah. There's no, like, because we all have a healthy respect, a healthy amount of shame, and just like, hey, you know, keep it kind of, yes, you're going to get naked, but, you know, keep it to yourself.
No, they'll walk.
Don't go looking one way or the other.
Over that locker room.
Well, hey, man.
We're walking. They're going to get a drink of water. They're, you know, getting another towel. Well, put it on.
We let them hang out and everything from the 832. They turned 40 last month. They said their dad is pushing 80, got a new step sibling in March.
Oh, well, oh, that's man. What Sean said. Have kids. They, you know, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. All having these kids in their 80s, and it's like, what are we doing? Why?
Lopa, you probably had this moment. What was that moment you had with your parents or your mom where you like, oh, my mom is older now, man. Mm-hmm. Like she, because mom used to be superwoman, and now it's like, oh, man, this is my mother. She need my help with this now. I had to jump on the phone with T-Mobile one time with my mom because I guess she tried to get a phone. And I guess the phone didn't come or something like that.
Yeah.
So she put me on three-way to talk. I had to talk to the lady at people at T-Mobile because she's trying to get her money back. It was a whole big mess. So the lady, I'm like, I'm sorry. I had to apologize to the lady because my mom wasn't trying to hear it. She was just like, no, I want my money. Yeah, I need it now. And so I had to jump in as the third wheel to try to straighten everything out.
My mom used to do the readings at church every Sunday.
Oh, and it was just a bless your heart situation wasn't it?
In the Spanish language, you know, early morning service. And she used to drive a little bit, and then she would take the bus. And then one time I drove her, and in the middle she set down these papers. And the type on those papers was like an inch, three-quarters of an inch.
She had about 15 words per page, just flipping them.
That's when I went and I said, Mom.
And the Lord said, flip page.
Yes.
Come unto me, flip page.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, you probably need to start letting someone else do these
That's
readings.
Funny. All right, I'll close it out with this one. I feel like our older brethren and sistren should not be allowed to be in charge of moves. My late grandmother, at one point, in the great city of Houston here, she was like, hey, she told my mom and me, like, hey, can you come help me move? We were like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So we get there. Not a single box is packed.
Yeah. And I went through that with my grandfather.
My grandmother was a pack rat.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she had planned the pack move. She was like, yeah, I ordered a U-Haul and everything. Nothing was packed. And then we start, you know, we're packing. We going for about an hour, 2 hours. And then she's like, all right, going to work. I'm like, what you mean going to work? I thought you were moving. It's like, yeah. All right, I'll see you later. And then she leaves. And I'm like,
and you're left there.
How did this happen? There's no, like, she quote got unquote you. Planned, but she never planned it. Like,
she got you.
It would have been better if she was just like,
are you sure she never planned it?
It would have been better if she was like, hey, you guys, can you plan the move? Because we would have had it all together. So yeah, don't let the old folks plan the moves.
I had to do the same thing with my grandfather. And then my grandfather, he had a lot of old stuff in there. And he was trying to hold on to it. I'm like, man, nah, you can't.
It ain't going
to
happen.
You can't take this.
Everything's got sentimentality. Oh, yeah. You can't take that paper? That's from the first time
I
read the word?
I'm like, granddad, this pot is rusted and old. It got a hole in the pot. Like, we can't take this.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL, including we've evaded what was going to be a very dark day on the weekend for sports watchers with this news. We'll talk about that more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.